Aden's jahiliyat, I believe that people were astray, they were not on the truth, because they are worshipping idols. And I heard of a person in Makkah Sharif who was speaking of certain things. So he said, I mounted my conveyance and I went to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was secretly conveying the message to his people, but his people were openly opposing him. So he said he secretly planned to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he met Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam few questions. One of his, what did Allah ta'ala send you with? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he has sent me with the task of maintaining ties of kinship, destroying idols, and that Allah ta'ala be accepted as one without ascribing any partners to him. I asked him, who is with you? He replied, a free man and a slave man. At that time he says, there's only two people with me, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. And then he said, I told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also would like to follow you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you do not see my condition at present. It would not be possible for you to follow me. Rather go to your people, and then when we are in a position that where Islam is prevailing, then you come back. So he says that I would find out from people that were coming at the time from Medina Sharif, or people that were coming from Makkah Sharif also, I would find out that what is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that people then told him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is gone from Makkah Sharif, he's gone to Medina Sharif, and people are now flocking to him, people are coming to him. So he said, now I decided also, now let me go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says he went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the first questions he asked is, oh Rasulullah, do you recognize me? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, yes, I recognize you. You are the person that met me in Makkah Sharif. So this was one of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said he remembered people, he gave every person that recognition that person deserved. And this was the love and the compassion that he had for his ummah, because he made this his occupation, that every person must be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and every ummati of mine must go into Jannah. This was his occupation. So therefore he didn't forget even that person, despite people flocking towards him in Medina Sharif in group, he didn't forget that person that came years ago in Makkah al-Mukarramah to see him. So we're moving on with the incident. So he says, I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of what Allah ta'ala has taught you and about which I am ignorant. Inform me about salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform the morning salah, fajr salah, and then abstain from salah until the sun has risen to the height of the length of a spear. This is because when the sun rises, it rises between the two horns of shaitan, and it is at this time that the unbelievers prostrate before it. So in other words, what we eat after fajr, don't perform any salah until the sun rises the height of a spear. In other words, not just sunrise, give the sun a little bit time that it rises from the horizon. When a person is looking at the ocean, for example, the height of a spear, in other words, it's got a good rise. Therefore, you find in our fatwa kitabs, we encourage that to wait for about 20 minutes before a person reads the Ishraq Salah. Not immediately, just after sunrise. Give it a few minutes, at least about 20 minutes. Others say 15 minutes, but prefer this. 20 minutes after sun has risen, person performs Ishraq Salah. We see this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that because it rises between the two horns of shaitan, and it is at this time that the disbelievers prostrate before it. How it is done exactly, that is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that we don't perform salah at this time, and we find many of the people that worship the sun, etc., this is the time that they pray. So to say separately, different from them, we don't pray and make salah at this time. Then you may perform salah, because the salah is witnessed at and attended by angels until the shadow is equal to the spear. Then abstain from salah. So now when the sun has risen the height of a spear, now you perform salah, because that salah is witnessed and attended by the angels until the shadow is equal to the spear. In other words, until the sun has gone to almost midday, you find that there is a shadow. If you put a stick on the ground, the shadow is almost the same length as the stick. Added in different parts of the world, you get different shadows, but in the Arabian Peninsula, at exactly midday, you don't get a shadow at midday. There's no shadow given by any instrument, any stick. So you place a stick into the ground, you'll find at midday you're not getting any zil, any shadow coming from the stick. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to it, speaking about what happens there, that until the shadow is equal to the spear, so when there is no shadow, it means it's midday. But when the shadow comes equal to the height of the spear, so if the spear you got there, for example, is 1 meter, and now the shadow is coming 1 meter, now know that this time of Zuhr has come in. Because it's not midday, it's no longer midday, the sun has moved past midday, so therefore now you're seeing there's a shadow that's forming, and if that shadow is equal to the spear, then know now it's time for Zuhr Salah. So this is what is meant by this part of the hadith, that until the shadow is equal to the spear, then abstain from Salah, because at that time, hell is ignited. In other words, at the time of Zawal, when the shadow begins increasing, you may perform Salah, because the Salah is witnessed and tended by angels, until you perform the Asr Salah. Then abstain from Salah until the sun sets, because it sets between the two horns of Shaitan. And at this time, the disbelievers prostrate before it. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one part of the hadith here, he's saying that when the shadow is equal to the length of the spear, that this is just before Zawal, you'll find that it is equal. Just before Zawal, you'll find there's one length of equal. Now, at that time, stop reading. Because now it's approaching midday, where you'll get no shadow at all. And then we let it pass again until you're getting the full length of the spear. Then you start reading again. Because obviously the sun is coming in one direction and moving in the other direction. So this is what that part of the hadith is explaining. So Rasulullah sallallahu, just to go through it again, understanding what it means, that then you may, after sunrise, when it is equal to the length of the spear, that's the time you're performing your Ishra Salah. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. Then you may perform Salah, because that Salah is witnessed and attended by angels, until the shadow is equal to the spear. That is now just before Zawal, this part of the hadith is talking about. Now, then abstain from Salah, just before Zawal time till after Zawal. We call it Zawal, but actually the real meaning of Zawal means when the sun has already moved. In our colloquial term, we call it Zawal. But the hakikat, real meaning of Zawal means when the sun has already moved. Anyway, for our understanding, then abstain from Salah, because it is the time that which Jahannam is ignited. And when the shadow begins increasing, now you may perform Salah. This is talking about the Zuhr Salah, because that Salah is witnessed and attended by the angels until you perform the Asr Salah. Then abstain again from Salah until the sun sets, because it sets between the two horns of Shaitan. And it is at this time that the unbelievers prostrate before it, the fire worshippers. Again, when the sun is setting, that's the time they worship the sun. I said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me about wudu. He said, there is no person amongst you who brings his ablution water, gargles his mouth, places water in his nose, and blows it out without the sins of his face, mouth, and nose falling away. This part of the hadith is tying up with this chapter. Therefore, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith, long hadith here. Now, we mentioned that when one part of the hadith ties up with the chapter, we're doing the chapter of hope. When one part of the hadith ties up, the muhaddithin, they bring it in their chapter. Because this part of the hadith is tying up with the chapter that they brought. And look at the hope that the person gets. He's just making wuzu. We think it's so lightly that I'm making wuzu. I'm going for salah, I'm making wuzu, I'm reading Quran, I'm making wuzu. I want to make tawaf. I'm making wuzu. People make wuzu for different reasons. But look at the reward that the person gets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no person amongst you who brings his ablution water, gargles his mouth, places water into his nose and blows it out, without the sins of his face, mouth and nose falling away. Then when he washes his face, as Allah Ta'ala has ordered him, the sins of his face start falling away with the water from the sides of his beard. Then when he washes his hands until his elbows, the sins of his hands fall off with the water from the tips of his fingers. Then when he passes his wet hands over his head, the sins of his head fall away with the water from the ends of his hair. And then when he washes his feet until his ankles, the sin of his feet falls away with the water from the tips of his toes. When he stands up and performs Salah, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he glorifies him, he expresses his majesty in accordance with his status, and devotes his heart to Allah ta'ala, then he relieves himself of his sins like the day his mother gave birth to him. So much of forgiveness upon forgiveness upon forgiveness. This is only the kindness and the clemency and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Hazrat Amr ibn Abasa radiallahu anhu, he narrated this hadith to Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another Sahabi. So he narrated this hadith that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, he asked him one question. This is the last part of the hadith now. He asked him one question. He said, "Oh Amr ibn Abasa, be careful of what you are saying. You are saying," in other words, it sounded like so much sins are just being forgiven from your face, from your fingers, from your hands, from your feet, all the time. Then a person is rising up and performing salah as he ought to perform his salah, and he's performing the salah in the correct manner. It's as though his mother has given birth to him. All his sins are forgiven. He's in that condition. So he's warning him. He said, "Be careful what you are saying." So then Hazrat Amr ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he tells Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, there's such a nice thing he tells him. He says that, "Oh Abu Umama, I have grown old, my bones are weak, and my end is near." In other words, I'm gone old. This is the last part of my life. He says, my bones are weak, I'm grown old, my end is near. I have no need whatsoever to fabricate a lie against Allah Ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I had heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if I had heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only once, twice or thrice, he counted up to 7 times, I would have never have related it. But I heard it from him more times than that. So more than 7 times I heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm narrating it. So this here explains that how many times Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned this hadith. It shows the authenticity also of this hadith narrated in Muslim Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We'll bring yaqeen. Every time we're making wudu, bring yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is forgiving our sins from our hands, our face, our feet. Like that a person is making wudu and performing his salah. He must believe that after I perform the salah, all my sins are forgiven. He must believe it, really believe it, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned it. But one thing is necessary and important for us is that ulama explained minor sins, major sins we have to make tawbah. We did anybody down, we did any wrong to any person, then we have to go and make it up with that person. We're owing anybody money, we have to make it up by trying and paying the people off. It's not that this is automatic forgiveness, but anyway it shows us the mercy, the kindness, the clemency of Allah Ta'ala, that all the time He wants to forgive us. It's just for us now to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that give us all the tawfiq for making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.